firm of Harris and Marang. Patrick Harris.
Look, Daniel, I do what I want.
Danny Marang.
That is smelling your own farts.
Easy there. These are great pipes.
I'm not going to say agree to disagree, but I really don't like you right now.
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
That's right. That's right. One more hour to go. For those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to the firm of Harris and Marang.
If you're used to the show just starting right now, well, it's hour number three.
And it's over.
And he hasn't had a hit in ever.
In ever, Jerry. In ever. We are now 10-1. The lineup change was announced yesterday. Dirt and Spray goes 6-10. That puts us in the 10-1 slot. We're in the two hole, which I like.
There you go. Seeing some pitches.
See some pitches, get somebody on base, and we'll try to knock you in, or at least join in the fun. So we are 10-1. Then when the season starts, we'll have the Ducks Insider Show from 1 to 2. Luke Anderson hosting Happy Hour from 2 to 3, and then Primetime 3 to 7 as usual. Today you get 2 hours of Luke Anderson at 1 o'clock. Did I get that?
All week.
That's what we do every single day on 105.1 FM, The Fan, and 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app and all that stuff. So thank you if you're just joining us. If you're on 105.1, if you miss Bella, you can listen to a bunch of grumpy old dudes here.
There you go.
I'm a dad, so I got dad jokes for days.
You like to get 45-year-olds up.
Apparently I do. Apparently I do. Shout out to the YouTube kids. Sorry, YouTube's been a little all over the place. As you can imagine, we've got, you know, with the big switch to FM, we've got a lot of moving parts going on around here, and some things are other priorities, et cetera, and stuff like that. But we will get it all figured out, and I would hope, I'll bet you by tomorrow it's going to be business as normal.
Yeah, I mean, when you flip over an entire station from AM to FM, you're going to run into little bugs here or there.
A little bit.
Talking about some static and stuff. It'll be worked out over the next day or so.
Yeah, so that'll be great.
Same with the YouTube. The YouTube stuff's been a little bit weird, but we'll have everything all ironed out. This is what happens when you make a big switch.
Yep. In a half hour, we will play with some Damian Lillard audio as he was reintroduced to the Portland Trail Blazers yesterday. But kind of talking about what we dove into at the 10 o'clock hour, as it is Big Ten Media Week. This should be a fun year for the Big Ten. I was under the impression that Penn State was the darling of the dance, and then I just saw ESPN tell me they have Ohio State picked to win it.
Yeah, which is weird because basically every single person has Penn State with the highest win total.
Yes, ESPN just...
It's probably their ESPN bet. They're trying to generate some interest. So, like,
their gambling interest?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Well, I mean, that's
I don't like that.
They're always trying to make money in that vein. But it's interesting in the sense of how this ends up looking going forward. And when you talk about, like, betting lines and those kind of things, anytime you have a large constituency, so in basketball, Lakers and Celtics numbers are always kind of wonky.
Sure.
Because they're, number one, L.A. is so close to Vegas, and they'll go to Vegas to go place bets.
They have more fans, which are going to create more irrational fans.
And they're going to bet on dumb things.
Yeah.
And Ohio State has a massive, massive, massive student graduate population.
Yeah, State, they're everywhere.
Ohio State and Michigan, I think those are one and two, and I think Arizona State has actually surpassed them in year to year now, but like total graduates, like Michigan's one, I think Ohio State's two. So when you have these massive alumni groups, you're going to see some tilted numbers.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But I think if you talk to most people that cover college football, Penn State is going to be the quote unquote favorite. But here's the thing. SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, you look at the teams at the top four or five, you can make an, especially in the Big 12. The Big 12 is like, I don't know.
That's literally the Wild West.
Yeah, it's like, if you said...
That's Cowboys down there.
Dude, if you said Utah won the Big 12, fine. If you said Arizona State won the Big 12, fine.
Dude, if you told me Kansas won the Big 12, fine.
If you said Nebraska, like, Dylan Raiola takes a big leap, and Matt Rule has them, instead of going, like, what was it? They went 1-5 in one-score games, now they go 5-1, and now they're in a bowl, like a playoff.
Nebraska's in the Big 10.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, like, just...
Oh.
Like, if in any of these teams, like Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, sure, like in the Big Ten, in the SEC, yeah, people are picking Texas.
Does Jonathan Smith and Michigan State make a jump? What does Lincoln Riley and USC do?
Like, if you told me any of these teams in these three conferences, like, yeah, Texas is the quote-unquote favorite in the SEC, but does Georgia, does Alabama, does, you know, whoever, does Ole Miss, like, does Florida pop and Lagway? Like, the parody of college football feels like very reminiscent of what we had with college basketball this year, where you had 4-1 seeds make it to the Final Four.
Yeah.
Yes, the quote-unquote best teams made it there, but if you had seen upsets along the way, it wouldn't have been surprising to anybody, because there was a lot of parity because of NIL. Because you're like, guys are going, instead of going one place and sitting there for 2 or 3 years,
they're playing already.
They're like, screw this, I'm going to go where I can play and I can make money. And so,
I'll go to Central Michigan and play there, and then I'll go to Kentucky.
Yeah, and then like you're just the flattening, and you're not going to have Georgia anymore. You're not going to have Texas USC in 05 where. I was looking this the other day. I think it was 44 players on just USC's roster went to the NFL.
Went to the league.
Like, Georgia was running three deep in 2018, 2019. You're just like,
I mean, they had the first two picks.
You're like, what
in
the
that game?
What the hell is going
three
on?
Three top
here?
10 picks in that game.
Like, it's like that. I just don't think you're going to see that anymore.
No.
And I think you're seeing that impact college football. And I also think the talent level overall in college football is rising because guys are better younger.
Which I'm very, very happy about because I think if you would have asked me 10, 15 years ago, college basketball, Final Four, it's a great, great analogy for this. If you would have asked me 15 years ago, would I be happy with all one seeds in a Final Four? I would say absolutely not. As a college basketball junkie, as you know, one of the few people that really, really likes college basketball.
You want to see George Mason. You want to see VCU.
Yeah, that was always fun. I'll tell you what. The Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and the National Championship,
bangers,
for the most part, were really, really good basketball games. Mm-hmm. And that's what I care about more.
Well, look at the playoff last year.
Yeah.
Arizona State, Texas. You're just sitting there going, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, how is Arizona State doing this with Texas?
So I'm all for it. And I think the Big Ten is the best example of where it is. Like, I heard, you know, they, who were the guys interviewing this morning? They had, who's their, Pate.
Oh, Josh Pate, yeah.
They had Pate on. And he was like, look, don't be shocked if Oregon, you know, sneaks a win against this team and sneaks a win to this team, and all of a sudden they're a one seed in the playoff again. He was like, that wouldn't really shock me because that's where they are. And I really agreed with that statement, but that's also the same for Ohio State. That's the same for Penn State. I mean, Michigan is, in theory, competing for
Michigan,
a natty every year.
Michigan's last four games of the season last year.
And USC. So now you've got at least five teams that are national championship or bust at this point.
I don't know if they're
all
bust,
in different places.
Yeah, but like,
in that journey, but their overall journey is national championship or bust. Look, Minnesota, no offense to you. Like, you're trying to get to a Rose Bowl, and that's about
it. You're not rowing the boats quite yet.
Exactly.
But Michigan last year, in the last 4 weeks, had the best defense in the country. Last 4 weeks, I think, what was it? It's in the final 3.5 games, I think they allowed like 32 points. It was just like, oh. But they also, the only teams that had worse passing attacks than them were the academies.
Yeah.
Like, they were so bereft of offense. And now you go, well, does Bryce Underwood get it? Does, you know, what quarterback do they go with? Do they get any kind of production there? And we just talked about the big hitters in Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. Like, those are going to be your traditionals. If you told me Indiana or Illinois somehow won the Big Ten this year, that's not a far-fetched thing. We talked about a couple weeks ago, Indiana having three of the top 50 ranked players in the country. They've got Surratt at wide receiver, who might be the second or third best wide receiver in the country.
I think, let's see, I just had this up. They had preseason awards like come out. Oh, and of course, my computer is S-ing the bed right now. I think Indiana had three guys. Yeah. Three guys with preseason all Big Ten.
And then you look at Illinois, like they're one of the programs with Bielma, who's a great coach, and they're one of the few schools returning a quarterback in Allmeyer.
It's that, like, is true. It's like them and Drew Aller.
Yeah, like
that's it.
That's pretty much it when you're talking about the teams like it can do stuff. And you start kind of looking up and down rosters and you kind of go, man, this really is wide open. This isn't like a shot at Ducks or Ducks fans or anything like that. Your entire offense is new. Your like your offensive line, your quarterback, your wide receiver, like DeCorian Moore might be him. He might
wide receiver room, offensive line, running back room, quarterback.
You've got some great transfers. You've got some great recruits.
You got some great names in there. People I trust.
But it's all unproven on the offensive
That's
side.
That's true.
And you can find that in basically every school, save Penn State.
Yes.
At the positions that matter.
Indiana two preseason.
So they, I mean,
on
like,
defense.
Yeah, like you just look at these teams and you just kind of go, it's not a, oh, these teams aren't going to be good. It's just there's a lot of unproven. There's a lot of questions. There's a metric crap ton of opportunity.
And like I said, like we were talking about with college basketball, if this gives me better football games, I'm in.
I'm in. You're probably going to get somebody into the playoff this year with 9 wins.
3 losses.
You're going to have a 9-win team make it into the playoffs because I think the days of
Oregon could lose 3 games and still be in the playoff easily. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Like I don't think we're going to see the 12-0, 13-0 teams anymore. Like
I don't think so either.
I mean,
the SEC's got to get their act together and play a 9-game schedule.
We can talk about that a little bit.
We can't Youngstown State on week 14.
I mean, Petiti was out there for the Big Ten media days and he was like, "I don't care how many conference games but we're going to play." He's not talking about just the Big Ten. Like, he's talking about all the conference. If we have the automatic qualifier stuff like that the Big Ten is pushing, which Drinkwitz at Missouri is like, I like what the Big Ten's pushing. Like, and basically what they're saying is with the automatic qualifiers, we're getting rid of the committee.
Yes.
Like, we're not doing the committee stuff anymore. We're going to have the Big Ten's going to get 4, the SEC is going to get 4, and then, you know, the rest kind of get what's left. But that part of it is going to be really interesting as this season kind of plays its way out in the Big Ten, because even if you do get the 4 automatic qualifiers, like, does it come down to a conference title game? Does it come down to strength of schedule? Does it come down to matchups? Like, it's going to be interesting because of the openness of it all.
And that's where we'll go next. I want to see this relationship between the Big Ten and the SEC. At times they feel like best friends, at times they feel like scorned lovers, and at times they feel like enemies. What is the future path for these two eventually creating a super conference? Are they doing each other favors? Are they fighting? Is it for show or is it real? We'll do that next. The Firm, Harrison Morang, 105.1, The Fan. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll dive into some Damian Lillard reaction from the press conference last night that my co-host went to. We got some audio. We'll reminisce, and then, you know, we'll probably let Dame do his thing, and we'll re-adventure that when we get close to tip-off for the season.
Indeed.
It's been a fun few days with Damian Lillard.
It has been. We won't get into it just yet. I will just say, vibes were immaculate yesterday.
I bet. Finishing up our conversation as we step into Big Ten Media Days all week, just to give you a little preview of the rest of the week, tomorrow will be our big Oregon day. So if you're an Oregon fan, tomorrow will be our big day as Dan Lanning will take the podium at 12:15. We will go live to Dan Lanning on the podium at 12:15 and just kind of look at the season and see what's going ahead for them. We'll have Tyson Alger, our great friend Tyson Alger, who's a friend to everyone here at the station.
Yep. I-5 corridor.
We'll have him on at 11:15. He's always a great listen and a great read if you haven't checked out his stuff. So make sure you do that. But as we look at the Big Ten and it kind of start this soft launch into the college football season from a Big Ten perspective, it does to me feel like at times they are in bed with the SEC. We all know the potentially eventual situation of them forming their own league and ditching the NCAA, and we'll see who goes with them and who doesn't. But then there are times where it feels like they have to remind themselves that in today's world, they're still battling each other.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're really in bed with each other, because the thing I will keep going back to is the power vacuum. It's just there's opportunity to take hold of something, and anytime you have that opportunity and you're a big swing and you know what in the room, you're not going to allow somebody else to have something you think is yours. And you can talk
completely.
You can talk about, well, the betterment of the game. It's like, look, man, it doesn't even have to be as big stakes of college football.
Look,
it could be it's your local job, like your job, like wherever you are. Like, if there's an opportunity for you to get more money, to get more responsibility, to grow whatever it is you're doing, our innate nature says, no, that's mine.
Not to deviate too hard. I'm done with that's gone. As much as I used to bang on that, because as a baseball guy, I bang on that. As a basketball guy, you know, I've been very critical of the NBA because I don't like this brand of basketball. But now I'm coming around because it's starting to change a little. I can be that guy that's like, but the old times, the sanctity of the dude, that's all gone.
We just talked about
in college football. That is gone.
It's been gone. But
now it's like
we finally pulled off the veneer, the curtain. It was like, okay, let's
yeah,
stop.
It's not McDonald's bags anymore. It's direct deposit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like this whole like pretending it was about the sanctity of like amateurism. It's like it hasn't been that for 40 years,
no,
man. Like
no,
It's so dumb. But we also just got done talking about how much like better the game of college football is with parity and having these opportunities and not having 10, 12 schools hoarding all the talent and having just obscene depth and you know, just, you know, a firm grasp on everything. There's a school every single year. Last year is Arizona State. Arizona State, the Big 12 is not doing a media poll or did not do a media poll at Big 12 Media Days because it was embarrassment for them. Because last year, Arizona State was picked dead last.
And they're that's right. I forgot about that.
And they're in the playoff.
And they're in the playoff and played a hell of a game. Hell of a game. But, I mean, you're right, though. And as we get to, you know, 16, like if we have a 16-team playoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the teams right now? Penn State, Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana.
Pick your boys between Indiana, Illinois, Michigan.
I'll take Indiana.
Okay.
Georgia, Texas, Bama, Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, Florida, Tennessee,
we'll
A&M.
Go, let's throw the Hurricanes in there. We'll throw Miami in there.
Sure.
We'll throw Boise State in there. Let's pretend that they're the group of five that gets in.
From the Big 12, do you go Arizona State? I mean,
yeah, Arizona State. I mean, does, you know, does Oklahoma sneak in for a fifth from the SEC? Does, yeah, is it BYU? Utah? I mean, either way.
You could throw
way,
like six teams from the Big 12 at me and be like, sure, why not?
Either way, unless it's, I hate to say it because it's mean, but unless it's Indiana SMU, all those games are going to be bangers.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch Indiana SMU be the best game.
Yeah.
It might not have the Texas-Ohio State appeal to it, but it will be the best game. Yeah. I think the Big Ten could be that way as a conference all season.
Look,
Minnesota could pop up and beat Michigan at Ann Arbor.
The depth of play in the really the big – I don't really put the ACC in this, but they are. But between the Big 12, SEC, and Big Ten. The like you have 6-7 teams in each conference where if you're like this team was not picked to win the conference and they won the conference, and I'm like,
yeah,
sure, okay.
There's no way Oregon was picked to win the conference last year. No way.
Ohio State was, because the amount of talent they had, Ohio State was picked to win the conference, but Oregon was right there because they were very deep.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody expected Oregon to win every game.
No. They did not expect them to go undefeated through the Big Ten.
No, I don't think so. I'm fascinated. I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
Give me good football.
Tomorrow's
4 a.m. football games, dude.
Tomorrow's going to be all about Oregon and Big Ten media days. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we'll have Tyson on to kind of lay out all of the...
Ooyungalale?
There you go, Mateo.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Booyah!
It's what? It's I think it's Mateo, Bryce Betcher, Lanning, and somebody else. I can't remember who.
Oh, talking?
List. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure. I haven't seen who all is.
It's on the list. We'll have all
talking.
That tomorrow. And we'll grab any of the stuff from today that ends up becoming poignant at Big Ten Media Days as it comes through. I've only seen just a little bit from Petiti, and I don't think there's anything that was earth-shattering from him that I've seen come across just yet as far as, like, other than trying to advance, like we're talking about, their agenda.
Right.
And that's what this is. That's what these media days have become, particularly for the commissioners. It's about advancing your agenda, setting your conference up for success.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no real, like, takeaways. Well, we're here to compete for national championship, and first it starts by winning our conference and then winning the Big Ten championship. Like, yeah, we know.
Well, no,
we know.
I mean, I brought this up a couple times. That's where we're having Chip Kelly when he was at UCLA when the Pac-10 dissolved. Like, having Chip just be so blunt about stuff.
Yeah.
Was just like... wide-eyed, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, like, go on. Like, you know, chin on your hand, like, go on, Chip. Like, we just wound him up and didn't let him go. And it was just like, you know, and to an extent, prime. Deion Sanders is like this.
Yeah,
like,
Deion's a little bit like that.
Like, in the Big Ten, I don't really think you have anybody like that other than Cignetti. Maybe Bielma would be a little something.
I think
something.
There's too much on the line to get loose. I think there's too much. Yeah. That's why Lane Kiffin's all buttoned up now. He's not afraid to call some things out,
sure.
but he's very professional about it, very buttoned up.
He dances around it.
And Sark is even cleaner.
Oh, God. I mean,
literally and figuratively.
Yes, I mean, he looked like the look on his face at SEC Media Days was like, I haven't had a beer in 6 years. Like, that was the look on his face.
All right. When we come back, we will revisit Damian Lillard's press conference last night as he returned. Danny, you were there. I'll get your notes from that, and we'll play a little audio. But before we get that, first, there's the Big Kahuna with sports.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Mm, yeah. You
Coming up in a half hour, Luke Anderson for you. Happy hour time. I'll give you 2 hours of happy hour.
I wonder if he can get a 45-year-old up.
Did you? You were there when you heard him complaining about doing a show for 2 hours.
Yeah, and I just looked at him like, because we were all complaining because I was like, I don't think any show.
We don't
show,
like change.
I don't think any show has more change than us. Not only are we doing a show together, we're launching the new show, the newly named show. We're going to a different time slot.
Moving like, time slots.
Yeah. It looks like, well, what about me? And I was like, well, this isn't about you. This is us bitching. Stop.
Shut up.
Like, this is our.
It's my turn, not
this
yours.
This is us being able to do this. But yeah, no, Luke will go 1-3 this week, and yep. Then we'll launch Ducks Insider with Joey Mack and the boys.
And I'm excited to see what Luke's got in store.
Yeah, fun.
Luke's been here 1 year longer than me. Known the guy for a long time. Done a ton of stuff with him. Like, I'm excited. Give him the reins. Let him do his thing. Sometimes you just roll out the basketball and dribble.
And that's what it felt like last night.
Yeah. How? You know, I don't need to professionally tease this or build it up or anything. How was it? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, no, it was number one, we did it in the Rose Room, which is up on the club level. It's a big room that they have not used in a long time for something like this. I originally thought that this press conference would be at the practice facility because that's typically what they do is we all go in there. But it was such a big deal. There's a lot of movers and shakers and bumping of elbows and all of the schmoozing that goes on with like a big deal like this.
Yeah,
like,
when you run into the other media members, you know, some of them are your friends, some of them are your competition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no,
you
like, know, just, everybody.
But it was kind of like good. Everybody was happy to be there in the same room together.
Everybody was there.
That's cool.
Like it was very cool. And you know, Joe, Chauncey, Dame come out, and it was really, really, really weird because it felt so familiar.
Oh, we're doing this again. Huh?
There was just a level of comfort and levity in the vibe. Like, if you looked around the room, everybody was just smiling. Everybody was, you could just feel it in the air. And this is something that has been missing since Dame was traded away. It's not just the veteran presence, it's the icon. Mm. Like, and not every organization is lucky enough to have that guy, not just to be that good. But we did a 20-minute press conference.
Yeah, and we're going to play you some highlights for that. I'll start right now. This is Damian Lillard's opening statement about being back in Portland.
It never felt right not being home. And, you know, through it all, I found my way back. And just fortunate to be back with the group that I was with prior to leaving, to be a part of a great situation at home. And I'm just excited, you know, and really, really thankful and appreciative of the door being open for me to come back, even with me being hurt. And, you know, it means a lot to me to not only play for this organization again. I never wanted to not be playing for this organization, but to be back in this community.
That's the biggest takeaway. The biggest takeaway is that Damian Lillard didn't ever really want to leave.
No.
His hand was forced. Wanted to take a shot at a ring. He knew this team wasn't there. And as you have said multiple times on your show with Dusty, with me, off the air, he has told you the grass is not always greener.
Yeah, and he I will say this, and I wrote about this, and that again, that kind of long goodbye letter of chronicling the entire trade saga.
Mm-hmm.
He never wanted to go, but he kind of had to go.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you put a gun to Joe or Dame's head, they probably would have done it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But neither one, because Joe couldn't take over the job and trade Dame.
Right. Yeah. That's an impossible situation.
And Dame wasn't going to ask for it until he had to ask for it.
Yeah. Especially with how bad things went at the end of Neil O'Shea's term. You can get hired and come on and be the guy that's going to fix the problems and the things that O'Shea didn't do, but you got to kind of play it coy. You can't do it right away.
Well, I mean, he did pretty much right away trade away Cove and Norm and CJ. Like, that happened pretty damn quick.
But we all knew that needed to happen.
Yeah, and that was the thing is, like,
and we all knew that needed to happen because O'Shea wouldn't do it.
Well, not only that, they had exhausted basically every other option because they had thrown away so many other assets. They, like, you know, the way Dusty used to phrase it was like the untangle the S web of Neil Olshay. And that it was going to take a couple of years.
Getting Norman Powell here was not an easy thing, and it didn't work.
Well, they had to do something because Gary Trent Jr. basically said, you either need to trade CJ or you need to trade me because I need a runway to be able to play.
And they traded Gary Trent Jr.
Because Neil was never going to trade CJ.
Because he was never going to trade CJ. Never going to happen.
But period, point blank, Dame told me multiple times, I don't want to go. I just kind of have to. This just has to happen because where things are with the organization, it's just not going to work. Because he left, though, you were able to get Scoot and Shea and Donovan and Denny and Two and just everything that you have now that is the identity of this team. You can say, well, Dame was here when they drafted Scoot. It's like, well, yes, but in order to kind of figure that all out, that's what kind of had to happen.
This is your question at the press conference on being the flag bearer for the franchise again.
The city of Portland and the Trailblazers as an organization is just important to me. It's never been something that I've had to try and go out and do, you know, and make myself something. It's just how I feel, and I go off of, you know, what my true feelings are. So it was always genuine for the first 11 years of my career, and it was also always organic. You know, I never had to go out of my way to do something or make something appear to be a certain way, and I think this will be the same. You know, I don't need to try to announce myself as that or anything. I just operate as myself, and that's always been good enough. And I think, especially at this stage of my career, you know, I think it'll remain the same.
I love that line. That's always been good enough.
And then
he's like, look, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just me.
Yeah. And so the reason I asked that question, Sprague and I were talking about potential questions to ask, and you know, a lot of people are worked up about, well, you know, Adam Silver saying our preference is that Portland stay in Portland. And the reason I asked it, I knew the answer Dame was going to get. It's one of those things where it's like, I've talked to him for literal years. Like, he's going to give you the answer. Like, he knows the answer to give you. And he's not giving you the answer because it's what you want to hear. It's because of what he believes. And I was like, I'm going to lob this to him of like, yeah, I am the flag bearer for this city. And I'm going to make sure that it matters. And
it is an interesting character test question.
Yeah.
You know, because like some guys would be like, I'm not the flag bearer. I never wanted to be. Don't make me that. You're appointing me that. Or some guys get really cocky and confident and it goes to their head. And Dame's like, look, I'm just me. I'm just me. And yeah, if that means that's what I do, then that's what I do.
And that's what makes him like the authenticity of Dame. Like, people make a big deal out of it as far as like, oh, no, it's authentic. Dude. It's this, that, and the other. It's be like, oh, it's a little corny. It's like, well, it's both. It is both unbridled authenticity and it is a little corny, but that's what makes him him. And I don't mean corny in a bad way. Like, he is just authentically, he is like belief personified. And like, that is such a rare thing to have in sports. When he says stuff about how he's going to come back and him believing and he's going to be the player that he was, he believes it. Like, he unabashedly,
he doesn't lie.
It. When they like, one of my favorite Dame lines of all time is he was asked about, like, you know, running a team and building a team. And he's like, I could never do that. He goes, because if I had it my way, Sasha Pavlovich would still be on this team. It was like 2016. Sasha was his vet when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
But he was like, he has an attachment to guys and whoever his teammates are, he's not going to go out there and lobby for this guy to get traded or this guy. Don't be wrong. He'll try to bring some help here. He's done that.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do it to, like, get rid of this guy. He's going to do it to add to his guys.
Never and wants like, to let somebody else go.
No. And, it, like, the thing about him is, like, every year he legitimately believed we can do something.
We'll finish up with this last bit. This is Damian Lillard on his role this year and then next year.
I think not playing, just wanting to still have an impact on the team and still be present with the team. I think when you've been around the league for as long as I have and, you know, you've had as much experience as I've had on the floor every day in practice, just being in this league and having a significant role, it's a lot to share. It's a lot that you need time to learn in the NBA. A lot of things you just learn over your amount of time. And with this being a younger team, it's a lot of things that I can share, you know, without having to be on the floor. And I think that'll be my main job this year. Like Chauncey said, I'm basically going to be like an assistant coach. So I'll be around, and, you know, my investment in the team will be the same as if I was playing, as far as, like, my time and where my energy is placed. And, you know, I think once I'm playing, it'll be the same. One thing that I've missed over the last 2 years playing on an older team is I'm able to be more and give more when I have something to pour into. You know, when I'm able to be invested in others' careers more, being around younger players. So with this team, I have plenty of opportunity to do that, especially having a young rising point guard like Scoop that I'm gonna be, you know, playing with now, and Tumani and Denny and Shaden, who I was with his rookie year. So just being around those guys and having so much to share and being able to pour into them and be a part of, you know, their continued progress is something that elevates me as a player and as a teammate and as a leader. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that as well, even when I'm playing.
I love that Damian Lillard is a Blazer fan.
No, I mean,
you know,
yeah, no, I talk,
he's like, yeah, I play basketball for the Bucks, but my team, I watch the Blazers.
No, dude. I mean, we would talk when he was in Milwaukee. He would ask me about, you know, what, you know, this guy's doing, what this guy's doing. And he kept very, very, very close tabs on Portland. Like, he, that's the special part of him, mm-hmm. is that he, it, again, the authenticity, he is Portland through and through. And it took him going to Milwaukee to realize just how much he missed it here.
And that brings up a great question that came across on the fan text line, 503-864-6326. What Damian Lillard says to Giannis on the way out the door. Closing arguments are next, and we'll finish up there. The Firm with Harris, the Firm of Harris and Morang, 105.1 FM, The Fan.
It's time for Easy Play, brought to you by Home Z, making home improvement easy.
Almost went. 2-2.
Hopefully catches interference on a take. He hits the glove.
That is courtesy of NESN. Game ends in a walk-off catcher's interference. Dude, baseball's so weird.
That's the coolest, lame way to
It's like the
game.
Most baseball thing ever.
It happened in the College World Series, too.
Yeah.
It was like, no, not like this. Yeah. Not like this. Come
oh,
on.
No,
no,
don't do that. This Easy Play brought to you by Home Z. Use Home Z's online calculator to estimate your project instantly. Make it easy. Call Home Z. That's HOMZE. HomeZ.com.
The Firm of Harris and Morang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Shout out to everybody that came along for the ride today with us.
No matter what time you tapped in.
Yeah. If you came in at noon, well, you can go back and podcast the first 2 hours that you missed. Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's our new home.
Mm-hmm.
That's our new home. I love it. I love it. I'm going to attempt to go to the gym every day, although not today for obvious reasons.
You should probably go sweat that out.
No, I'm going to go home and take a nap. Mm. I'm going to take the child's way out.
Coward.
Coward, yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. And that's that. But tomorrow we'll start that.
Yeah, those liquid IV packets work wonders, by the way.
I'm just a water guy. Like, I even got that Gatorade and I was like, oh, it's so sweet.
You've barely touched
it. It's so sweet. Yeah, I just like good old water. Cold water. Cold water. Fan text line 503-864-6326. We had two people mention some Giannis stuff, and I thought it'd be fun to kind of just get out on that and play around with it a little bit. The first question was, do you think Dame told Giannis to stay? Get a younger roster, retool, and see where it goes. You think there were any kind of, and I don't mean, like, do you know if there were. I don't mean Danny the insider. Yeah. I mean Danny the let's play and think about it. Do you think Dame would say something like that, yes, to Giannis and believe that that's a good idea?
Yes. Like, in the sense of, like, and look, from Dame's point of view, not even only the grass is green on the other side, he told me when, you know, a couple months after he got to Milwaukee, there was this, you know, it's different when it's not your team.
Yeah.
It's different when, like, if Giannis gets traded somewhere, the likelihood of it not being his team is slim to none. But it's different.
It is.
You don't, like, Dame...
like, if Jimmy Butler's still in Miami and you trade and get Giannis, it's kind of Jimmy Butler's team.
To an extent, yeah, but, like, it's funny, so...
But even Jimmy goes to Golden State, and that's Steph's team.
There's an usher at Moda, Lisa, who's been there forever. She's sweet as can be, phenomenal woman. She was there last night letting all the media in. And I'm like, you excited? She's like, I wasn't missing this for anything.
Yeah.
And Dame and I are talking after the press conference, Joe's right there, and she comes up and says hi to Joe, says hi to Dame, because she's been there for so long.
Sure, yeah. Everybody knows her.
But that's the thing about Dame. Dame knows every usher in that building, every security worker, every medic, all the cops, anybody who's there, Dame knows them by name. And that doesn't come about without being there for 11 years.
Sure.
And being invested and being the guy and doing the things that you do as the face of a franchise.
Right. But I guess...
But Giannis has done that in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
When you leave that, it's different. It doesn't matter if it's your team or not. It's not home.
I think I'm asking more about, is that the right move to go young and build a young roster around you? Or is it go get some guys?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter which path you kind of go down.
You can do the Clippers route. You can do the Clippers route. You know where I stand on that.
But, like, by buying out Dame, I was talking to a couple GMs about this in Vegas. Like, that whole buyout thing is, like, that's an untenable situation. You are going into every season for the next 5 years with a $20 million handicap.
Not to mention the Blazers have a lot of your picks.
But I mean, even take that away. The $22.5 million that is on their books every year for the next 5 years, that is a good player.
Yeah.
That is a, like, that, that's...
That's a very good
that's
player.
That's a very good player.
I mean, that's Miles Turner.
Yeah. Like, and you can't get that. So you are going into every season for the next 5 years handicapped. That's the level they have pushed themselves to. But if you're Giannis, like, does it, like, you've gotten a title and you want to say you want to win titles and all those things. Like, I think Dirk did it the right way. Dirk won his title, and they kind of quasi tried to do it again, but they got a little cheap because they were like, I don't know if this is really going to work.
It's really hard.
But then he had Luka, and he was like, you know what? I'm okay going out like this. And I've heard the guys, I think it's the Ringer guys. It might have been Zach Lowe. I think it was Zach Lowe was talking about it. It was like, it's okay for Steph Curry to go out on a shield over the next 2-3 years and win 48 games.
Yeah.
There's some honor in that of being a Warrior the entire career, and never, even though you're not really competing, you're competing.
It's how I would want it, honestly,
you know what I mean?
If it's me.
Well, I think Dame had that realization.
Yeah,
of like,
especially if I've won 4 rings and it's like, you can win 40 games for the next 3 years and just go out and still stay with the team, I'm probably staying with the team.
There's just something there.
Just something that never sat well in my gut when I see Karl Malone and Gary Payton in Lakers jerseys.
Yeah,
like,
it's not the same.
No, that just doesn't work for me.
It's if you're one of them ones, which Dame and Giannis are, they're going to go down as some of the best players. Like, there's a world where Giannis ends up as a top 15 player in the history of the game.
Well, for sure, especially the most intricate. I mean, he's no one's ever going to play like him.
No, I mean, you said, hey, what if we made Shaq fast?
What if we made LeBron bigger?
Yes, it's like, what is this?
Another question that came across pertaining to Giannis. After listening to Joe's comments about winning, do you think there's a chance the Blazers pounce on Giannis next summer?
Well, I will say the way that their books are set up.
You
got
to talk to him. You got to say what's up.
Well, I mean, if he becomes available, you have the assets that the Bucks are going to want back. I don't know if that's the case, but, like, looking at their books, I think the most they could clear because of cap holds is, like, $36 million. Next year, because I think it was 50 before Dame.
Oh, dude, Giannis is going to make like 78.
Well, I know, but that would be as a free agent. Like,
yes,
that's not as, like, you could trade. You have different salary pieces,
sure,
and those kind of things. But the interesting thing is like, if you're a Trailblazers fan, you want Giannis to stay in Milwaukee as long as possible to extend that out. So, like, when those picks are like coming up, what you want is Giannis to ask out in 2027.
Yes, you do.
That's what you want.
Yep.
Because you're like, because wherever Milwaukee trades him to at that point in time, let's say the Bucks trade him to Houston and, like, it's, you know, Amen Thompson or Jabari Smith Jr., whatever, like, good young players,
mm-hmm,
you look at the Bucks and go, you want those good young players? Do you want your future back? Because then Portland can go, we'll take the good young players. Here's your picks back.
Yep.
Like, that's where Portland, like, if you're talking about, like, a Giannis-type deal, that's where it becomes interesting.
Dude, Giannis in Portland.
I mean, Dame tried to make it happen.
It'd be so wild.
So, But yeah, I mean,
I just like to think, you know, like when Dame walks through the streets, you know, I don't know, that's Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Just a mild mannered, humble looking dude. Mm-hmm. When Giannis walks through the streets, that's a big guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does it in Milwaukee. I mean, there's the stories about Giannis walking around in the snow as like in the year two, like walking to the arena and somebody just stopped on the side of the road and picked him up. Like,
that's Giannis.
Yeah. Like, that's different. You don't see that walking.
He could
around
be
all the
on
time.
Miami Beach and it's like, ah, that's just some 6'10", you know, good looking brown guy.
I will say
in Milwaukee, you're like, someone pick up Giannis.
Yeah. I will say on Joe's comments about winning, I think if people are taking it as like winning this year.
No.
I think he was talking about when Dame comes back next year.
Yes.
That's when winning is coming around.
I would agree. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you again on this opening day, part two for me.
Part deux.
We're very excited to be here on the Fan 105.1 FM. Up next will be Luke Anderson, a happy hour, so enjoy that. And you'll get Isaac and Suk from 3 to 7 for Danny Morang, Jeff Rust. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
Bye.
How bad do you have to be to get a 45-year-old up?